joined by my guy. He's an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS. He is host of Be More Opinionated, the podcast. The man who will forever have the title of first guest on the CBS Sports Network simulcast. I'm talking about Jason Lockenfora, JLC. Good to have you. How are you?
What's going on, brother? How you doing?
Good, good. Jason, how about you?
I can't complain. Good seeing you in studio as always yesterday. And yeah, things got a little wild after we got off air. Huh?
Yeah,
what a
say.
Crazy day.
Crazy, crazy day. It was great to see you too, Jason. All right, so in terms of things getting wild, the Packers announced they were moving on from Mike McCarthy. We're talking about that. So you had been on this literally since the first month of the season. So were you at all surprised that they made that move yesterday?
Surprised in how they did it. Just because they're not really seen as a particularly, how do I say it, progressive organization. You know, they're very kind of stuck in their ways, and obviously that's changing a little bit now with Mark Murphy having tremendous control over that organization and promoting Brian Gutekunst a year ago, and, you know, Ted Thompson kind of being phased out. And you knew they were going to make a change, but they don't really fire coaches in season ever. You know, they don't, especially not a Super Bowl winning head coach and one, you know, won, what, 130-odd games with them, and just not normally seeing how they operate. So I assume for all those reasons it would be done immediately after the regular season, and things have been trending that way for quite some time. But I understand why they did it. I think we get a little too probably caught up in what looks right and the optics and this or that, because the reality is, what was December going to be like in Green Bay, right? The quarterback, who they're trying to protect above all else, is going to be asked about his relationship with the head coach nonstop, and who do you think the next coach should be, and are you guys playing hard enough for your coach? And that team was miserable, including the quarterback yesterday. That was hard to watch. Like, it almost looked cavalier to me at times. I wrote in my column, almost like it was like, whatever, all shucks, not our year, not our day. I guess they'll fire this guy after the game or sometime soon. It wasn't right, and I could see them sitting there, you know, Mark Murphy and others, and saying, you know what, Mike's not going to enjoy answering all these questions, and we already know that this decision, we've known we're going in a different direction for a while now in our hearts, and maybe we just do it now, and we can start focusing on our next coach, and Mike can start, you know, spending time with his family and focusing on his next job, and Joe Philbin could steer the boat, you know, for the next month, and, you know, away we go. And I actually don't have a problem with them doing it, and maybe this becomes more of the norm. But because they're the Packers and because they'd never really done it, I didn't think they'd do it this way.
Jason Lockenfora joining us. I agree with everything you just said. Now, where do the Packers go from here in terms of looking for a head coach? And what kind of a coach do you think they should look for?
Well, I mean, let's be real. That's going to be about coaxing the most you can out of the highest paid player in NFL history over the next 3 to 5 years, however long his prime ends up being. That's going to be paramount, and they feel like they haven't been getting enough out of the offense in recent years, and maybe they're not at the vanguard of modern NFL passing and concepts and all of that. So I'm sure that will play a big role in it. I would just say, as much as they're paying Mike McCarthy big-time money now, you know, he's been there, what, 13 years. If you go look historically at what they do, and again, maybe none of the norms apply anymore, but like, you know, Holmgren was a rising coordinator. He wasn't coming in the building with a couple of rings already telling people the way, this is how I do things, you know? It's kind of their way. And you look at, you know, Mike Sherman and where he was when he got there, and McCarthy, where he was when he got there. Usually it's a guy who, at least at the start, we can maybe control a little bit, and, you know, we can kind of indoctrinate him into our way of doing things. And I do think Mark Murphy has a considerable amount of control, and I don't know that they want to bring in a head coach making $9 million a year when we're already paying our quarterback $36 a year in new money. And, you know what I mean, maybe battling a little bit over power or control or personnel. My hunch is it's a younger guy, someone who they see as malleable, probably on the offensive side of the ball, if you're making me pick a profile. You know, is it a John DeFilippo type, a coordinator who's been around the block, you know, who's in their division right now? Maybe. You know, would it be a John Harbaugh? I don't know. I don't know that that's the direction that they ultimately go in. I think they feel like we've got a pretty decent roster. We've got the best quarterback on the planet. You know, here's our job description. Take it or leave it.
We're talking to Jason Lockenfora, and obviously they're not going to be the only ones looking for a head coach. And if we had more time, we could break this down. But let me ask you this. Every team looking for a new head coach is going to be looking, and maybe not everyone, but a number of them will look for the so-called next Sean McVay. Jason, how many next Sean McVays are there, and where does his current QB coach, Zach Taylor, fit into that?
There isn't another. You know, he's a unicorn, and he's going to forever be seen as a unicorn. And he may have some prodigious offspring from his coaching family tree. I have no doubt that he will. But I think you'll look back on that tree, and he'll be every bit the Belichick that Belichick is on his tree, et cetera. But nevertheless, it is a copycat league, and what they've done in Los Angeles is what every owner's looking for. We sunk all this into, you know, a quarterback at the top of our draft, and for 1 year it looked miserable, and then voila, we got better ideas, brighter minds, better coaching. We built an infrastructure that, you know, that this very young man was able to do on the fly, and the sleeping giant's awake, and now we're bullying everybody else. So that's certainly where they're going to be looking, and Zach Taylor's got a really unique background, and he's seen internally and outside that building as sort of the primary lieutenant for McVay, and the guy where, you know, losing LaFleur last year, like, that's his boy and all, but, like, people weren't necessarily sweating. Zach Taylor, maybe a little different. And, again, it's still very much McVay deserves all the credit and the accolades because he's put this thing together, and that's his offense. And you know, but this guy's doing good work with Goff, too, and he's got an interesting background. And, you know, he had to come in under a adverse situation in Miami as an even younger guy and come in and steer that ship and run that offense on the fly on an interim basis. Very well spoken, very organized, very impressive. And Jim, if there's 9 or 10 openings, just tell me the 9 or 10 guy. Like, just, you know, Harbaugh gets a job immediately. Yeah. McCarthy gets a job immediately. Ron Rivera gets a job, you know, almost immediately. But then you still could be looking at 6 or 7. And there aren't a lot of hot it guys the way Adam Gase and Kyle Shanahan have kind of been that guy in the past. That's not really there right now. There's not that shiny diamond. So it's going to be a very interesting process through January. And I do think Zach Taylor, at the very least, will interview for some jobs.
Jason Lockenfora is my guest for a couple of more moments. Jason, the Kareem Hunt story was a big topic on the pregame show yesterday. Before I get to that, based on your reporting, what is your sense as to the reaction of teams around the league to Washington signing Reuben Foster?
People were shocked and a little bit dismayed that under those circumstances where it's the second set of allegations, second arrest, second time facing potential domestic violence charges, it's on the road the night before a game in another city across the continent from where they play, and it just happened literally hours ago. I mean, at the time they're putting in that waiver claim, we're not even multiple days fully removed from the incident itself, and no one knows exactly where that's going. The police have barely started to investigate. The league hasn't even started anything. To claim him under those circumstances, a player who was going to clear waivers otherwise, no one else was clamoring for, and if you think he's your guy anyway because you have all these other Alabama players already there who vouch for him, then guess what? He's going to come to you as a free agent for a whole lot less than what he's making as a first-round draft pick on his rookie contract. So that's a different situation than Kareem Hunt. And I'm not justifying anything either way. Like, I'm just reporting. But because that, you know, we know where that situation is, and it is all out there on video, and it happened when it happened, and the police did what they did or didn't do, and because this player is making absolute peanuts by NFL standards, and you've got him for 2 more years at that price point, and you could control him with franchise tags for, you know, 2 more years beyond that if you wanted to, I think he's getting claimed, Jim. At this point, I'd be more surprised if he's not claimed than he is.
I was going to say, so exactly what does Hunt's future look like? And it sounds like you can see him getting claimed, right?
I absolutely could. I mean, I know there's teams, multiple teams, having internal discussions about it. And, you know, obviously the owner's got to be comfortable with it. This is not a decision that's made, just like the Reuben Foster. You can send Doug Williams out there to talk about it. You can mess up your messaging any way you want. Anybody with a brain knows that decision isn't made unless Dan Snyder wants it to be made. Likewise in this situation, but could you come out and make the case that what Kareem Hunt did is heinous and horrendous, and we will never stand for it again, and we in no way condone that, but we do believe in second chances, and there will only be one second chance. And we think by getting Kareem Hunt into our organization now that we have the best counselors, the best therapists. We want to help work with him holistically. We're going to take this mind, body, and soul. We want to get him right as a human being and rehabilitate him as a young man so that we think he's somebody who can help benefit others through his struggle moving forward in our football team and in our community. We want to worry about him, the young man, now so that in 2019, when he is able to play football again, he can do so and also walk the kind of walk we want him to lead as a member of, you know, X organization. Does that totally sell? I don't know. Everyone has their own internal calculus, but that's the kind of stuff that's being talked about in front offices as saying this is how we can justify doing it now, or this is, you know, and will there be a real component to that? Sure, but it's ultimately a football decision.
Exactly right. Does that ultimately sell? I really don't know. I don't know if I want that guy on my team. Somebody will sell that. Somebody will sell that for sure. He's an NFL insider for CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. He appears every Sunday on the NFL Today on CBS and, of course, the host of Be More Opinionated podcast. Jason Lockenfora, my guest. JLC, thanks so much. Really appreciate you.
Anytime, brother. Thank you.
See you soon, JLC. Jason Lockenfora.